that was just a standard thing. Everyone I met, it's, hey, congratulations. And my condolences. That's so sad, dude. And, you know, it was just a weird, it's just a weird thing to go through where you have something to celebrate, but at the same time, you have something to mourn.
Yeah.
And those are so, those two strong emotions are happening so close to each other in proximity.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back to Two Suitcases. This is a show where we unpack immigration stories and explore complex topics that transcend borders and culture. I am Raksha Rajagopalan.
And I am Bharat Madras Natarajan. Hey folks, Raksha and I took a bit of a break over the summer. You know, things got really crazy with our personal lives and everything going on. So we decided to take a bit of a break from recording and posting episodes. But, you know, now that things have slowed down a little bit, we're back at it, and we're excited to get you guys more conversations about all the things that we talk about on this podcast. But today, what we want to do is keep it a little bit informal and, you know, just have a catch-up conversation on how our summer has been going. Hope you guys are all having a great summer, and hope you're all staying safe, and hope you're all thriving with the amazing weather, at least in this side of the world. We can't wait to dive into it. Raksha and I have had a few conversations, but nothing really in-depth about the crazy few weeks that we've had. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
And it was also really nice to take a summer break. I think it was really important that we kind of switched off from, you know, doing our podcast work or any work at all, actually.
Yeah.
And just resetting. So I think it's important that all of you take a break when you can.
Yeah.
So now we come back full force, excited.
And we're ready to have this conversation. So, Raksha, this is going to be a bit of a roller coaster of a conversation, because for me, at least, the last 6 months have been a roller coaster, you know, with really high highs and really low lows. The name of this episode comes from a lot of that experience. Lots of congratulations and lots of condolences, too, in a span of 6 weeks.
I know, Bharat, your summer was completely opposite from mine. Mine was so relaxed this side, and you were back in Zambia. So you want to, and you got married. So congratulations, guys.
Thank
you. Oh, congratulations, guys, is more congratulations to him and his wife, Natasha. So it's exciting now. We have a new member to our family.
Thank you.
And you were home.
Yeah.
And things were crazy. And take us back, Bharat, because there's a lot of things to talk about.
A lot of things. A few episodes back, well, the very first episode that we released for this podcast was, you know, a bit of a recap of my trip to Zambia last year in 2020. This year, I was able to get on a flight home and go on a trip. As you said, Natasha and I got married, and there was a lot of planning leading up to it. There's a lot of planning, honestly, since the last time I was home. You know, a lot of conversations, you know, between me and Natasha, between us and the parents, between the two families. So it was really a good year for the families to kind of get together in spite of COVID. It was good for the families to kind of get familiar with each other and get more comfortable with each other. So in that sense, it was truly a blessing. So I was planned to fly to Zambia mid-June. And the plan was for me to travel to Zambia mid-June, have 2 weeks there, and then have the wedding the 4th of July weekend. And then spend about, you know, 3 more weeks after that, you know, go on a honeymoon in Zambia and just spend some time with the parents, with her parents. So we had a whole plan set up, and, you know, a picture perfect plan.
Right?
Like, honestly, we were obviously planning a wedding and we're planning a wedding during COVID. And because of that, I think right off the bat, we're fairly cautious in terms of how big a wedding we could have. And at that point in Zambia, we had a pretty big wave right after the Christmas break. So in January, February, and March. And then after that, things kind of really tapered away.
Honestly, it really did. It was kind of bad over here at some point, but we all started getting vaccinated. So it was getting better here.
Yeah.
It was getting better in Zambia.
Yeah.
And we were all looking hopeful.
Yeah. And thankfully in Zambia, it never really got super bad. Like, we did have a couple months at the beginning of the year when things were pretty rough. But overall, everyone did feel like Zambia had kind of gotten away with it to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, we were blessed enough to not have a crazy COVID wave. But unfortunately, we planned out a wedding for about 150 people over 2 days. You know, we did things that our family wanted to do, or we planned things that our family wanted to do, and we planned things that Natasha's family wanted to do.
Right.
And so a lot of planning went into it. And basically 4 weeks before the wedding, COVID got really bad. You know, a lot of people thankfully had a chance to get their first vaccine shot back home.
But, which is pretty remarkable.
Which is pretty remarkable. And it's still quite crazy how few shots of the vaccines that they are back in Zambia. But thankfully, a lot of the people in our communities were able to get their first shots at least.
Right.
And a lot of people that we know obviously are of a certain age group, have certain pre-existing conditions. So they were automatically eligible for like the first round. So that was a good thing. But 4 weeks before the wedding, we had to restructure everything because COVID started getting really bad.
Right.
It started getting worse than what it was the months at the beginning of this year. So we had to go through a lot of restructuring around that period. So we restructured that wedding once. So this was while I was still over here. And then a week after that.
After the restructuring now.
After the first restructuring, Appa and Amma, my parents, got sick with COVID. And it got pretty bad. You know, in the grand scheme of things, they were okay. But, you know, that first week when I was still here and I just had a few days before getting on the flight and going, that was quite stressful because, you know, you started thinking about, you know, you're thinking about the wedding.
Yeah.
But you're also obviously thinking about the parents and how they're doing and how their health is holding up.
And at this point, you were about 3 weeks from the wedding.
This was about 3 weeks from the wedding. That's right. 3 weeks before the wedding, they started getting pretty sick. And thankfully, they were able to get medical attention fairly quickly. But, you know, they had to get so many drips and so many, you know, a cocktail of medicine that they had to take every day, multiple times a day.
Which is crazy.
And, you know, there were a couple times Amma had to wake up in the middle of the night to rush up to the hospital because... Thankfully, my mom, who has the most pre-existing conditions between the two of them, she was fairly asymptomatic. But my dad obviously started showing a lot of symptoms right from the beginning. Right. And he was very weak. And, you know, thankfully not to a point where you had to get admitted, because a lot of folks who have family in India are also aware that with COVID, you want to try your best not to take the person to the hospital if you can do that, because we know so many stories of people getting COVID because they're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a similar kind of mentality or sentiment here too. And that was rough leading up to the wedding.
I mean, at this point, no one was even thinking about the wedding. It was more
no one
about,
was thinking about the wedding.
No right. one, maybe you and Natasha probably were.
Yeah.
We would talk about
we
it.
We had a backup plan because at that point is when we restructured the wedding again. And we first had the conversation of, hey, maybe we obviously still have this, but have it on a very small scale.
Yeah.
And we kind of have to play it by ear. There's still some time for the parents to recover and test negative.
Yeah.
And so that way we can still have something at home, or let's mentally prepare for a worst case scenario where we don't have a wedding. We get married on paper.
Yeah.
We start our life.
And then do something else later.
And you kind of just wait that out.
Yeah. And I wanted to tell you something. I don't know if I ever told you, but I used to talk to Amma, your mom, about, you know, last year she would think about, oh my gosh, it's COVID. How are we going to do the wedding?
Yeah.
And at some point she would say, ooh, I mean, if it's going to be really bad, maybe we'll just do it at home. And I would say, oh yeah, maybe they would want to do it at home. And it's kind of like full circle, because it was something that I think you were also mentioning last year.
With the first conversations we had about wedding planning, I was pushing everyone and saying, let's have it at home. Let's be done with it. 25 people, call it that.
Yep.
And let's move on.
Right. And I remember you were pushing for that a lot. And we would have conversations about how to picture it. She would want to picture it.
Right.
And full circle, man. But anyways, we'll get to that.
So that week before I flew out, I know that was quite stressful in the sense that I remember there was one evening, one of the, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days before I flew out, there was an evening I came for dinner to you and Rahul's place.
Yeah.
And by that time, I think you guys had already had a more in-depth conversation around this, but that was really the very first time that we sat together and talked about what happens in the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do in case there's a casualty?
Yeah.
What do we do if something bad happens, unthinkable happens?
Yeah.
And we obviously talked about, okay, you are going to be there, so that's good. You being me, right? And then you and Rahul couldn't travel at all because the US embassies are closed, right? And they're slowly starting to open up now. But at that point, they were firmly shut. No one knows when anything's going to open back up. So you guys definitely couldn't travel. And so it was this conversation of, let's mentally prepare for this. Mm-hmm. We're at that point where this is a serious conversation we need to have.
And, as uncomfortable as it is.
Oh, it was very uncomfortable because that's the first time I came to terms with the mortality of our parents.
Right.
Understanding that time isn't infinite with them. It was a real conversation of, you know, those emotions of, man, if something happens to them, all the experiences and memories I have of them up to this point, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to make up for. There's no room to make up for anything. There's no room to build on anything. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
And so that was a really difficult conversation to have with you guys. And obviously, me and Natasha had those conversations too. And her as a bride too, she's there thinking, my dream wedding is a very strong emotion.
Right.
On top of that, the equivalent to your own parents are so serious medically.
Sick. Yeah.
You are dealing with them dealing with them going through that medical condition too. It must have been really difficult for her. And I know for a fact that it was.
Yeah.
So that was the week before I flew out, right?
But also your flights were getting canceled.
Oh yeah, flight. Oh God, I completely forgot.
Because I remember us having multiple iterations of planning around the flight.
Yeah.
This COVID situation in Zambia was completely the flip of how we were living in the US. This is what all I could think about when we were having all these conversations.
And I know we were having that conversation because a lot of things were opening up here.
Yeah, everything was normal here.
Back, right? Yeah, yeah.
Pretty normal.
Pretty normal here, but we also have friends and family in India who are going through tragic deaths in the family and mm-hmm. mourning, and in Zambia too. And yeah, speaking of flights, I had to basically book two sets of tickets, and Emirates eventually ended up canceling flights to Lusaka like 3 days before I was supposed to fly out,
which is crazy.
Thankfully, I booked a flight through Ethiopian as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, canceled my Emirates ticket, flew on Ethiopian, went home. And it was so weird being at home with your parents who are sick, but you can't even go and hug them.
Right.
Thankfully, we have a big enough house where I could isolate in one part and they could isolate in the other. But in a way, it felt good to be home because I knew that, okay, worst case scenario,
I'm here.
I can put myself in danger, get in a car with my dad if I need to rush him to a hospital.
Right.
Right. So that felt like I had some control over the situation.
Right.
But at the same time, I was there for a good 2 weeks, you know, sitting across the room from my mom and I couldn't hug her.
Yeah.
You know, sitting across from the room from my dad and I couldn't hug him, you know.
While you're trying to plan your wedding.
While I'm trying to also figure out my wedding. So that whole first week that I was back home, man, like all wedding plans was put on hold. Natasha was going through a last week of teaching. Mm-hmm. It was the end of her semester. So she was going through all the crazy stuff that happened at the end of that the term. And she got to multiple points where she was kind of just like, I'm done with the planning.
You're here now. Figure out what you want to do. Yep, you're here now.
And thankfully, I was able to do that. I obviously still had to work from home for those 2 weeks before the wedding.
Right.
But it was good being on the ground and being able to call up people and being able to have more control of the situation. So that first week I was back, they're all on hold. Parents were thankfully recovering, but you know how it is with COVID. It's up and down. A couple of days are really good. A couple of days are really bad.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's really going on. You don't know what the larger trajectory of their health is. But thankfully, they were recovering. They recovered fairly well. The Wednesday before the wedding, they tested negative
COVID.
Thank God. And I also tested negative. Natasha tested negative. So we were good. We were good in that sense. But obviously, the wedding planning was all kind of thrown. And, you know, you get to a point where you have to figure things out. You have to make the best of the situation.
I feel like you guys pulled it off in 1 week at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. We basically planned whole thing. We planned the whole thing in 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, it was a headache, man. We had to call up so many vendors and try to get refunds.
Right.
So, you know, a couple of vendors were absolutely terrible in terms of communicating or giving back a refund or you know, working with you to find a solution because the whole country is shut down at that point, right?
We're because all that was trying the same time Kenneth Kaunda also passed away.
Yeah, may God rest his soul.
Yeah.
KK, our first president, Zambian president, he passed away the week before the wedding.
So there was a national mourning.
There's a national mourning period where you cannot have any celebrations or things of that nature. So there was also that to kind of figure out. It's a gray area. Like if we're having it at home, do we need to go get an event license to do it if it's just at home?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what do we do? Are we even allowed to get married? You know, there was all those things that we had to think about. But eventually, we ended up having the wedding with just the parents on each side. So Natasha's mom, dad, stepmom, Appa and Amma on our side.
Yeah.
Your parents were also there. Yeah. And one of Natasha's aunts who was her matron. So it was really a 10-person wedding.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we had enough space at home to make it happen. So yeah, we had an altogether very good day. It was honestly the perfect day. It was the perfect day after the day started, because I was still up at 2 a.m. that day.
And I was talking to you on the phone, and you were really stressed out.
I was up. Me and Natasha were both up at 2 a.m. that day dealing.
Meanwhile, I was texting them saying, "Have your wonderful beauty sleep before the wedding."
We were up, dog. We were up. We were dealing with this terrible decorator that just was just absolutely a nightmare to deal with.
Which no one should have to deal with the day before their wedding.
The bride shouldn't have to deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a really stressful morning. And then Natasha eventually went to sleep. I went to sleep. And then I was up again at 4.
Oh, my God.
To work with the decor person again to kind of get everything done by 6 a.m. But after 6 a.m.,
yeah,
it was honestly a very relaxed wedding.
Yeah.
Because me getting ready is a 2-minute job. Natasha getting ready, she's got 3 people to help out with it. There's really, we had figured out all the Zoom call logistics and everything beforehand. We had a YouTube stream with a Zoom call where everyone could log in and like could interact with us later on. So we honestly had the perfect wedding. And honestly, Natasha was very firm about it even the weeks before. She was like, "Hey, this is going to be the only wedding I'm going to have."
Yeah.
So like, we're not going to push this by a year. We're not going to have half a wedding now, half a wedding. Like, whatever this is.
This is going to be it.
This is it. You know, like, I want to have that closure of like, I have started my married life and that's it. So once she said that, dude, you know me, I was ready to just go get married at the registrar office.
You didn't care.
I didn't care for myself.
Yeah.
I cared what Natasha wanted to get done.
Yeah.
So for me, for her to say, "I just want a wedding at home with just the parents and like small scale, get it done." I was like, "All right, then that's what we're going to do. That's an easy decision for us to make."
That's true.
Right.
So, and honestly, like sitting on this side, right, like us cheering you guys on and being excited, everything seemed so seamless and perfect, even in terms of, because I think one thing we were discussing, we have to not forget, this wedding was happening in Zambia.
Yeah.
And internet and connectivity is usually a bit of a problem.
Spotty, yeah.
Spotty here and there. And it was not spotty that day.
Yeah.
And it just was so perfect.
There's no one to also like project manage the internet and the setup.
Exactly. If something happens, then what do you do?
Like, that was me.
Yeah.
Right. So for the folks who are on the live stream, like I was going back and forth between the computer and sitting down.
And we were calling, like, "Wait, can't we see this side?" And that's
And I'm getting shouted at by aunties, "Why are you sitting on the phone?" And what I'm like, "Bruh,
I'm trying to figure this out. This is what I'm calling, Barth. You can now run weddings."
Hey, man, I'm what do you call it? A wedding planner?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, wedding planner, wedding management. Like, come to me, y'all.
So, I know, because you were on your phone.
I was on my phone.
But we were also telling you, "We can't see this and we can't see that. What do you do?"
No, but I think overall it was a really lovely day.
Yeah.
Given everything that was going on, you guys, you and Rahul obviously not being able to be there for us was a huge, it was a huge point. It was a huge pain point for us.
Yeah.
Right? We had to kind of come to terms with that. Natasha's uncles and aunts, who Natasha comes from a very close knit, like matriarchal family.
Yeah.
So a lot of her aunts not being able to be there, that was a pain point for us.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously our grandparents not being able to be there. You know, there's a lot of emotions, a lot of not regrets, but emotions of, damn, I want this person to be there. I would have wanted that person to be there.
Yeah.
These are people that raised us, But thankfully, in a way, a lot of the folks were able to join over Zoom.
And I think everyone was so happy to just be there.
Yeah.
And I think everybody stayed on. It was an 8-hour wedding.
It was.
Literally, I pulled an all-nighter.
Actually, it wasn't
for
that
you
bad.
After college.
It wasn't that bad. It
was 12 a.m. to 8 a.m.
Okay.
We did enjoy it, though.
Six in the morning to 2 p.m. Okay, I guess it really was eight hours. We took a nice nap at 4:30, dude. Like,
lucky
on our wedding day.
We went and had a big breakfast, though, on your behalf.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we had amazing food. We had a caterer come in and set up outside and whatnot. It was absolutely a splendid day.
Yeah.
And the next day we went and had a photo shoot.
Yeah.
On Natasha's parents' farm, and that was also beautiful. It was stressful in its own ways, but we got some really lovely shots out of it, and you know we were able to.
I will say the pictures came out phenomenal.
Your
photographer did a fantastic
job.
Pictures
came out great. A lot of the vendors were very, very understanding, and were, you know, they were able to make things work given all the constraints. And honestly, it was a perfect day for us, and you know, a perfect 2 days for us.
Yeah.
So the wedding gets done, and
now you're settling back into normal life.
We're just trying to figure out. No, we're planning to get on the flight. That Wednesday we're supposed to get on the flight for our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, we got a day in between to take it easy. So we got married on the Sunday. The Monday we had a photo shoot at the farm. That Tuesday we're going to take it easy, you know, pack up and whatnot. And then Wednesday we're going to get on the flight. The week before the wedding, the Wednesday before the wedding, the same day that my parents tested negative, one of Natasha's aunts, very close aunt, her mom's bigger sister, she had a stroke, and that paralyzed her from the waist down. She was admitted to one of the main big hospitals.
Yeah.
Which
was really stressful, I'm sure.
Which was very stressful.
Yeah.
Again, that was us, you know, from stressing about are the parents going to test negative to is everyone else going to test negative the day before the wedding so that they can come, to is the registrar going to show up on the day of our wedding so that we can get married on paper? Because, you know, yeah, these are concerns in a country like Zambia where the government official is going to show up and do their job.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
So on top of all of that and planning the wedding, Natasha's aunt being in the hospital was very stressful.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a weird, man, it was a weird moment. She was paralyzed from the waist down. They really didn't do any tests on her because, again, COVID is rampant. The hospitals are full. There's really the nurses and the personnel are stretched thin.
Overwhelmed, right? Because at that time,
everyone was overwhelmed. The whole
BBC
system was
having news articles or things like that saying, you know, the morgues are filled up.
Yeah,
in
the
Zambia.
Morgues are filled up. The hospital beds are filled up. Each nurse is attending to 30, 40 people at once who are critically ill. So it was a stressful time before the wedding.
Right.
So after the wedding, that Tuesday morning, we get a call from Natasha's younger aunt, who's only about like 5 years older than her, her mom's other sister. And she's like, hey, you guys should probably go to a hospital. Nothing, you know, just before going on your honeymoon, you just don't want to have any regrets if something happens in the week that you guys are gone. So go to a hospital, see how your aunt is doing, you know, but everything is okay. Don't stress out. So we were planning on going to a hospital that afternoon. And then we get a call saying that Natasha's aunt passed. And
man,
everyone is shocked. Everyone is, you know, coming from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows.
Within 2 days.
It was terrible, right? It was a really terrible situation. Not for us. We were fine, but for the aunt's kids, for Natasha's mom, who's just lost a beloved sister, for Natasha's whole family. So we pushed our honeymoon.
Yeah.
We pushed it by a week. We pushed it on Monday after.
Because you're kind of the son, the only son of that family, or the oldest son.
The oldest, yeah. Natasha is my mother-in-law's oldest daughter, oldest child.
Yeah.
So we rushed to the hospital, you know, we're trying to, you know, just trying to be there for everyone. I'm here carrying babies. I don't know what to do. I don't know the first thing to do with babies. I'm here carrying a baby outside the hospital because the aunt and Natasha and Natasha's mom, everyone's inside mourning and like trying to figure out what to do next. And, you know, in our Indian culture, right, if and when there's a death, we kind of do with the funeral and the cremation or burial
on
like pretty much
day.
Right away.
Yeah. Or the next day.
Or the next day.
Yeah.
But in Zambian tradition, you kind of have a funeral home or a funeral house where people come and like can mourn and pay their respects.
Right.
And then after like 3 or 4 days, you end up having the funeral. And obviously this is all with COVID. Right, so we are also here thinking...
One more constraint,
you know, like how do you tell people not to mourn? How do you tell people not to come and show their respects?
Yeah.
You know, it's a really weird situation. And the person who has to do the enforcing is the person who is closest to the person who has passed away, who is hosting the funeral home, who has to now tell people to mask up, who has to tell people not to come, you know?
It's hard, dude.
It was a really, really tough, unenviable situation that Natasha's mom was in. So we kind of got through that. We got through that week day by day. You know, as much as it was terrible, to have to go through something like that. Mm-hmm. At least Natasha and I were together. And it felt like we could go through that together, and we have each other. So that was a pocket of solace in all of this. And the weirdest thing about that week, man, was everyone that, you know, I was obviously at the funeral home trying to be there to help out, do whatever I could do, right? The weirdest thing is you're meeting Natasha's family members, a lot of them for the first time.
And who couldn't come to the wedding.
And obviously, you know, I get introduced as, hey, this is Natasha's husband. And they are, the first thing they say is, oh, congratulations and condolences.
Yeah.
It's, that was just a standard thing. Everyone I met, it's, hey, congratulations and my condolences.
That's so sad, dude.
And, you know, it's just a weird thing to go through where you have something to celebrate, but at the same time, you have something to mourn.
Yeah.
And those two strong emotions are happening so close to each other in proximity.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it, you know, you guys had your perfect day on that one, you know, week before. And then that Friday is when you had the funeral.
Yeah.
From one high to the next low.
It is.
I mean, and in spite of having all of the other crazies that happened the week before that.
The months before that, you know, like we were all planning a COVID wedding that's stressful as it is. Yeah. Planning an interracial COVID wedding that's even more stressful. Yeah. Intercultural that's even more, like getting all the families on the same page with COVID.
I mean, that could have been our conversation.
Yeah.
And many, many months ago, we were joking. We were like, oh, yeah, we would one day talk. But now when we're doing that is the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
That just feels like nothing now. But there's so much else that happened that is more significant.
Yeah. So we ended up, you know, having Natasha's aunt's funeral that Friday.
Yeah.
Everyone is dealing with death. Everyone mourns in their own ways and at their own pace. But after those few days, we felt comfortable enough, at least I felt comfortable enough that Natasha was in a good place to be able to travel.
Yeah.
And
do your honeymoon.
We both felt comfortable enough to leave, you know, her family to kind of, you know, that they're okay.
You know,
they will be okay. It'll just take some time. It'll take some working through it.
Right.
So that same week that Natasha's aunt passed and we had the funeral, 2 days before the funeral, Appa's uncle passes. I was on my way out to go do something with Natasha to run an errand for the funeral house. And Appa's uncle passes. And my dad's uncle is only like about 3 years older than him. These guys all grew up together as siblings. And so it was also weird. That was just a small little episode in all of this. But Appa was obviously shocked by it. You know, the whole family was shocked by it because dude is young, you know. Yeah. Dude was young.
It was not expected.
It wasn't expected at all. You know, Appa isn't the most vocal and like emotionally expressive dude there is. So making sure, like, you know, just keeping tabs on him, making sure he's okay. And like, that was another thing that it was just another wrinkle to the whole situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, he passed away in India. There's not really much our family could do from Zambia at this point. And obviously, my uncles in India and family in India are there to help out. So at least it felt like someone's on the ground. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that happened that week too. And then, after that, we were free to go and enjoy our honeymoon. And like emotionally, we felt like, okay, we have mourned the passing of our aunt. We have been there for family. Like, we kind of have to pick it up and, you know, I am only in Zambia for a brief window.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pick it up and enjoy the beginning of our marriage.
Right.
Right. So we packed, dude. It was amazing. You know, that Monday that we're flying out was Amma's birthday.
Yeah.
So we planned to have a lovely lunch with her. We had to go in and just pick up a marriage certificate from the registrar office.
Which also was a crazy...
Which is like, man, I shouldn't have to keep like...
Following up with these people.
Following up with government officials who are supposed to be doing their bloody job.
That's also another theme for you, bro.
Oh, man. So anyway, that day, me and Natasha have a few errands around that Monday, getting on the flight. So, you know, we pack up in the morning, then we get in the car. We are going to the government office to pick up that certificate and then go, you know, I want to get her some nice sunglasses for the honeymoon. So we're like, all right, we need to pick up a couple of things. So let's do this. At like 11 a.m. in the morning, we get into an accident.
Right as soon as you leave the house.
Right. This is
one minute outside
the
house.
A block away from home. and I'm crossing this major intersection. There's no robots or no signals. There's no traffic officer, no one there. It's kind of a free for all. But I was crossing this like 6-lane intersection.
Which has no lights.
Which has no lights, no nothing. And
this is why I take the back roads in Zambia, bro.
There's no back road. You have to cross Great East Road to get to that side of town.
I never used to drive on that road.
Oh, man.
It's a nightmare.
So anyway, we basically had a near-death experience.
Crazy.
A truck basically came and hit the side of the car that I was sitting on as we were crossing the street. And
airbags, you know, all come out.
Airbags all pop. It's one of those things where, like, you are crossing and everything just turns to slow-mo, mm-hmm. right? Natasha is just like, hey, have you seen that truck? And I turn, and it's like in the movies where you just see the headlights flashing and coming your way, and it's just approaching you. And I was just
That's scary, dude.
Crap.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. You know, when you're driving, you don't necessarily consciously know the space around you, but instinctively you do, because obviously you're paying attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, over a few years of driving, you get used to that. So I realized there was some space in front of me. So I just hit the gas.
Man.
And thankfully the car moved a few inches forward, but you hear this loud screeching noise. The truck tries to come to a stop, and this idiot didn't even try to stop. He was still gunning straight on until a good meter from us. Dude wasn't trying to stop, right? So he hits the brakes, hits the car. All the airbags pop. Airbag pops right in my ear. All I'm hearing is this like high pitched ringing in my ears.
Oh my God!
And we're still in the middle of the bloody six lane intersection. And I'm like, all right, crap, we need to get out of this. Mm-hmm. So I get the car across, God knows how, pull it to the side. I get out and see what the car is looking like. Thankfully, damage is okay. It's just like behind the back door. So we were okay.
Nearly missed your front door.
Nearly missed the front door, nearly missed me. Natasha would have been a widow. Like,
that's crazy.
It was just my life flashing in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
And then the truck driver, he bounces, hit and run. Dude didn't want to stop, didn't want to do anything.
Okay,
cool. Call my dad. He comes over with my uncle's car. And
without his phone.
Without his bloody phone. And he's like, oh crap, I need to call the police. I need to call insurance. Like, Bart, take this car. Are you okay to drive? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay to drive.
Yeah.
He's like, take this car, go back home. Where's home? Back across that 6-lane intersection. I'm like, all right. God. I didn't even think about it though. I was like, got on the car, got in, went home.
My mom, to join back, like they didn't stop. No one stopped.
No one stopped.
Because you moved your car out.
Yeah, I moved my
This is Amma's birthday.
This is Amma's birthday.
This is the day you're going on your honeymoon.
I go home.
Bro.
Amma's at home talking on the phone, and she's like, okay, you're okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just getting up bus phone. Get the phone. Come back across the 6-lane intersection again.
Well done. You did it well the second and the third time.
And I wasn't even thinking about it, right? I came back, and then dad is like, go to the registrar office, get your marriage certificate, because that's important right now. All right. So we go and do that. My dad somehow drives this done and dusted car back home, right?
Oh, my gosh.
We go to registrar office, and guess what? The paperwork isn't done.
Are you
the
surprised?
The paperwork is still sitting on the table that we submitted it on.
Were you surprised?
Frankly, no. No. Frankly, not at all.
What can we tell you now?
Not at all.
Guys, do you want any more twists and turns? I don't even know what else there could be that can go crazy. You better have better news after this point, man. Man,
eventually, We were like, you know what, screw this. My dad will have to come pick it up at some point over the week. And we went to the mall, got sunglasses.
You still went to the mall.
What did I tell you before I left? Whatever happens, no matter what happens, I'm not missing that damn honeymoon. I worked too damn hard for that honeymoon, so I'm not going to miss it. Anyway, we got what we needed to, went back home. Man, that day I was...
What a blur, man.
It was just... Like, I was definitely still in shock. Right? But like, it was one of those things where I never really knew what it felt like when like your mind isn't quite right. Wow. When like your mind isn't quite telling your body what it needs to do, and like your body is not responding properly. It was just that shock, man. I was not myself. And but I was, I also just switched to problem solving mode.
But this is 1 week after your wedding.
1 week after a wedding.
Exactly a week.
Three days after Auntie Harriet's funeral. Like,
man,
the day of our honeymoon.
It's crazy.
It was just ridiculous. Natasha was a rock. Natasha, man, she held it down. I held it down. We're like, we're getting on that flight. Whatever happens, we're getting on that flight.
Right.
We come back home. we have a lovely birthday lunch with Amma, and then we get dropped off at the airport. And then from there, man, everything just turned. The tables just all turned. It was amazing. The same evening that we landed at South Luangwa National Park, we saw a female lion eating the lower half of a baby giraffe. Like literally a meter in front of us.
How rude, Bharat. A baby giraffe had to died for your happiness? Really?
Rest in peace, baby giraffe. But
well, I guess this is a circle of life.
Hey, it's a circle of life, right? Like yeah. that giraffe has served its one of its purposes in life.
Yeah, it was born to be eaten.
It was born to be, you know, it's born to nourish.
I remember Bharat telling me this and I'm thinking, so rude.
I'm just saying, right? Like I have been on a handful of safaris up to this point. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
That's
like,
awesome.
That's Natasha's first like full-blown safari. And like, anyway, we saw that same lion and three other lions the next morning eating that same carcass. We spent like a good hour and a half just right in front of it, a good meter away from the whole pride, taking pictures. Natasha is so damn lucky she fell asleep. I'm like, bro,
I don't know if I'm surprised here again.
Do you know how much people pay for this, man? Like,
does she know how much you paid for this?
People, does she know how many trips people go on and never see anything like this?
And she fell asleep.
That's how blessed and lucky we were that Natasha could fall asleep watching four lions eating a baby giraffe.
Yeah, because they were taking too long for her liking.
So from then on, man, the trip was amazing.
Yeah.
We spent 3 days at South Luangwa National Park, which, man, for all of you that want to do a safari, this is one of the best places to do it.
It's also untouched, man. It's not like those commercial, you know, when you go to Ngorongoro.
The thing is, I've never been, right? So I can't speak for it.
Yeah.
But what I do know...
I do feel that in comparison that Zambia hands down takes it because not many folks travel there.
That's fair.
And it's just untouched beauty.
Yeah, it's more of
beautiful.
It's more of a regional, like what you call it, like place to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, because of COVID too, we kind of had very personalized service because one, the places weren't full.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like we had very specific staff that were with us and guides that were with us the whole time.
Yeah.
So that was lovely, man. This whole system of ecotourism and conservation tourism.
Yeah.
That's really intriguing to me because a lot of those folks, hosting you and entertaining you is only half their job.
Yeah.
The other half of their job has got nothing to do with you. It's all to do with about learning more about the animals and the habitat and protecting them.
And also think about, they live in this. There's no, I was asking these guys, I was like, is there any kind of electric fence that kind of blocks it off? Mm-mm. No, nothing. Of course there's nothing. It's game management.
There are local like chiefdoms and tribes that live in those areas and villages that are in the national parks. And the beauty of about conservation tourism is a lot of these communities are bought into conservation. Right, so a lot of the folks that you run into who are tour guides, who are chefs, who are waiters, etc., all these folks are from local communities,
mm-hmm.
and they have decades of experience in conservation, or are working up to being guides, or mm-hmm. working up to being not just in the hospitality side, but more so in the conservation side.
Right.
So that was beautiful, and then we spent after that 4 days in Livingston at a very remote island. And that was also great because as much as South Luangwa was great, it was busy.
Yeah.
Morning safari, lunch, napsies, evening safari.
And what a busy life.
Pass out.
What a busy life.
That is the life, right?
Listen, drop me there and let me live my life. If that's busy, I'll take that busy.
Oh man, it was busy, but it was amazing.
Right.
And then Livingston was just, we were in this amazing place and we just had the place to ourselves effectively.
Yeah.
And we could that was the first time we finally like kind of ramped down
mm-hmm.
and appreciated, hey, we have gone through so much to get to this point. This is the beginning of our married life.
Yeah.
Like, let us fully embrace it and enjoy it and start this journey. So the honeymoon ended up being great. And then we came back to Lusaka and had a good 3 weeks at home. 3 weeks of actual vacation, no working from home, no nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was amazing. That was the most time I'd spent back home in my childhood room in, I realized, over 5 years.
Man.
And because obviously last year when I went, it was a quick in and out, right? Yeah. You didn't even have time to think. You just did what you needed to get on that flight.
At least you have your childhood room, bro. My parents moved. How dare they move?
My childhood room, half that room is full of your stuff. Exactly.
That's true.
Now, the other half is now full of Natasha's stuff.
Yes.
I'm like, bro, what? This is not my room
Bharat
anymore.
Bharat and Rahul's childhood room has seen a lot. Those walls I've heard a lot.
Let's not get into that.
Just some teenagers.
But, you know, that was great, man. It was great sitting at home, looking at childhood photos, sitting at home and just spending time with the parents.
Yeah.
Man, I realized I haven't had that in years. And it really made me feel like I got closer to my parents.
Making me so jealous, bro.
Oh, yeah. You better be jealous. Because, man, that was...
I was supposed to be there with my parents, you know?
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was honestly something that I didn't realize that I needed. But it was much needed. And it was also a weird dynamic being treated as a complete full-blown adult who makes your own damn decisions.
Breath, you need to figure it out now. We don't care about you. We washed our hands off of you. Yeah,
no, it was great. Like, everything, as soon as we tied the knot, me and Natasha were basically just living there, but we were fully independent. Mm-hmm. And it was just a weird feeling because you never... As a Desi kid, you never feel like an adult, it seems like, until you get married.
Yeah.
Because that's when everyone's just like, all right, man, you're an adult, do your thing. You wanna screw up your life? I'm not even going to say that's screwing up your life. That's you making your decisions.
I actually love that feeling too.
Yeah.
It's just, everybody looks at you in such a different light.
Yep.
I remember, and I was much younger than you were when you're getting married. So for me, I'm like, wow.
No, you're not much younger.
Okay, like 2 years.
2 years, calm down.
But still, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good feeling where your parents kind of, all overnight, literally, trust your decisions.
Yep.
You know, I guess also they're not paying for our stuff anymore.
I guess, but like they haven't been paying for our stuff for the last like 3 years. So it's
or more not, for me, oh, whatever.
Yeah, right. So like it's not like that has really changed.
Yeah.
But that was nice to kind of get into that dynamic where you're an adult, we're an adult, we interact as adults.
Yeah.
That was truly refreshing, but it's also kind of scary, right? Because now you start to think about your parents as mortals, your parents as folks who've got, you know, a limited amount of time to live off. And you start to feel like they are reaching the tail end of their earning years, right?
Yeah.
And so you start to feel like you have to, at some point, take some responsibility over how they're doing and their well-being.
Kind of repay it back to them. Not even repay.
Not even like in a repaying transactional nature, but just like... You know,
or that do, is, you know, like, I feel
that is
like,
still family. As a family, the number of people who are earning now, this is the peak of it, right? This is a transition period where, like, both our parents are earning and we're earning.
Yeah.
Right? After this, they're going to obviously retire and...
I feel like the roles are reversed. It will soon be reversed. Where I feel that my parents took care of me.
Yeah.
And... You know, met all my needs, and now I would love to actually take care of them.
Good luck saying I want to take care of your needs to their face. That's not going to happen.
See, that's a different thing, but I would love to.
But that's a conversation I think we need to have at some point, because I feel like the last like 2-3 years, I've been feeling this transition of, okay, as much as like I need to set up myself, there's this weird dynamic shift of, okay, our parents are coming to us for certain things.
Yeah.
Not money or anything yet, but like things like advice or opening up about certain things and confiding in us about certain things as adults. That it's a scary thing to go through that transition. And as like Desi immigrants and African immigrants, this might be happening much later on in life than like other folks.
Yeah.
But this is still happening. And that's, you know, that's an interesting conversation I think we can have.
I know. And I think I was telling you where I was thinking about it too, where I was saying, man, I just realized my dad is now 60 nearly. Yeah. And his life on earth left is less than the life he's lived. And honestly, it's a very scary feeling, a scary thought to have, because you never think about it.
Yep.
And I think I thought about it more when, you know, I had my friend lose her dad, and it was just, I can't even put myself in that position to feel how it is to lose a parent.
It feels like it's always going to be so abrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even
we can't be prepared for
even
it.
Even when we, like, I've lost a couple of grandparents.
Yeah.
Even when that happens, it feels like, yeah, your parents might be in their 50s and 60s, but it always feels so abrupt.
Right.
Like, you can never really mentally prepare for that. Right. Not to say we're mentally preparing for our parents' passing, but like we're just acknowledging that it comes towards a transition of like they are in their limelight years where like they need to like enjoy life now.
Yeah.
They have earned, they have taken care of their responsibilities. Now they need to like really do the things that they've never had a chance to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in conclusion, I realize I've taken up a good chunk of time just going through this roller coaster of the last 6 weeks, but I think it's been one of those weird periods where you go through so many hurdles, mm-hmm. you go through so many things to overcome. And at the same time, you realize that you're so blessed to have so many things that a lot of people don't, mm-hmm. that you yourself didn't realize that you had. It was almost like a microcosm of life itself. You know, you go through the worst of the worst, but what's important is you have the loved ones beside you to go through it. And you go through the best of the best. And, you know, even in those cases where you don't have all your loved ones right beside you, you know that they are there for you.
Right.
The last 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks have been a true blessing in spite of all the challenges that we've had to overcome.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think I'm really grateful for that experience. You know, a lot of people have to now figure out how to restructure their life, particularly people who have lost a loved one. And that's always going to be hard. But I think in all of those tragedies, there's also a lot of pockets of blessings and things to be grateful for.
Right.
And that's a high level, you know, Ja, take my blunt kind of high level summary of my last six to eight weeks.
Right, man.
But maybe we take a quick break.
Yep.
And then I definitely want to hear, Raksha, about how your summer has been going, because
completely opposite.
Completely opposite. And, you know, it's also something that you have to deal with, knowing that one part of your life is being upended because your loved ones are going through something. And then the other part of your life is just like, man, this is quite peaceful, normal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll come back and have a conversation around that.
Man, Bharath, sitting there and listening to your story of your last 6 weeks, I had a completely very different time here in the U.S. Obviously, it was very, very stressful in the beginning because, you know, your parents had COVID, my dad, and plus my mom, who didn't quarantine, taking care of my dad, had COVID.
Yep.
And sitting here, you just feel helpless. And that's when I was thinking, man, being an immigrant, especially here in the U.S., I wasn't able to hop on a flight. And then add COVID to that, we couldn't just be like, I'm going home now. I want to be there for my parents. I want to help out. But you're just calling them. And I noticed, you know, as we get older, that, like, especially my dad, I'd ask him what his symptoms were. And he would just kind of be like, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. And this later on, man, he tells me just recently, that was a near-death experience. And I was saying, you were just making it seem that it was all okay. He said it took me something else. He said, I felt so dazed even walking to the bathroom, and I would stand and stare at the mirror for a good 5 minutes before I could just feel like, okay, I guess I need to brush my teeth now. And that was not conveyed to me sitting over here.
Damn.
And I used to think, if something happens to any of our parents, we're not going to be able to go. And that, or we can go, and then we need to figure out what do we do.
How to come back.
How to come back.
It's not easy.
Right? Yeah. How do we come back?
Okay. We're not prisoners in this country. They're going to let us out. It's the letting back in that's a problem.
Yeah. Honestly, and just sitting here, and I know that, you know, when my friend went, when her dad passed away, man, I mean, it just, all of those emotions did come through. And I remember even messaging her and saying, yeah, my dad has COVID. And she had just lost her dad. Maybe it's been a month at that point.
Yeah.
And she was like being really supportive and asking me all the time, how's your dad? And I was worried. Everything here was getting back to normal.
Yeah.
I was reflecting on all of this. Last year, when we were all in this big lockdown, Zambia was completely normal, quote unquote.
Quote unquote normal. Yeah.
Very normal. Things were happening, you know, still socializing, still people meeting up unofficially.
Yep.
And all of that. And we were here completely isolated. And this year, we're all vaccinated. I'm so excited. We were actually ready to go to Bharath's wedding. We were like, yes, we're vaccinated. But meanwhile, Bharath, a week before your wedding, I went to my friend's wedding that had over 150 people. And I was part of the bridal party.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, I can't go to my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And here in the US, we are celebrating everything as normal, and as we should at that point, right? Everyone is getting vaccinated.
Yeah, everyone's been through a tough time, and a lot of people have taken the right steps to get vaccinated and to be safe and to quarantine and whatnot, that a lot of people should go back, and it's good for everyone to meet our friends and families and support systems.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, in the beginning, it was so weird when I remember sitting one weekend and I was thinking in May, I don't know what we're doing this summer. What's our plan? And then one of my friends says, why don't you come to Arizona? And that was the first time Raul and I got on a flight. in over a year and a half. And it was nerve-wracking because we were like, every time anyone coughed, I'm looking back, I'm feeling anxious. Anytime anyone is removing their mask to pop a little snack in their mouth in the flight, I was feeling stressed out. We were double masked. I don't think we removed it through the entire flight. My ears were hurting. But when we got to Arizona, I was like, oh, this is great. Now I met my friend, but now what? We're seeing each other in person. And it just felt kind of strange.
It's hard to adjust back to that.
Yeah, it was really weird to socialize because we haven't socialized in person other than just us family with friends. So it's like you start off with small talk, then you have to remember how to be engaging the whole time. Yeah. And like, because I'm so used to not having to talk.
It takes stamina, right? It takes stamina to engage someone in conversation face to face. Oh, man.
I have actually noticed myself zoning out, which is not like me. I am pretty social, but I realized with COVID, I actually love having my space, which was never like me. I was okay hanging out with people all the time. And then obviously coming back home and having my space. But here, you're in this person's house. We love our friends. We're so close to them. We're having a great time. But after a point, I'm like, I can't keep up.
Yep.
At 10 o'clock, we all said goodnight and went to bed, which, you know, we don't do those kind of things.
Y'all are old.
We're all old, dude, honestly. And take out the alcohol because I don't even drink anymore. Yeah. It's like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, that social aspect is kind of gone, you know? And yeah, but honestly, our summer was so, so, so fun in the sense that we traveled to a couple of places. We celebrated our 4-year wedding anniversary, our 14 years of being together. So it was just a lot of celebration. And also for the first time, it was just me, Rahul, and Toffee are in Chicago. And so it was just a very interesting feeling of, usually, because I have a thing of like, I want to hang out with you or and make plans. And now it's like, truly, we don't need to have any plans. And what do we do? Just three of us. It was the first time it was just the three of us. And it was a very good feeling. And I remember telling Rahul, oh my gosh, like, it feels nice. It feels really nice. And yeah, man, but I attended two weddings. Mm. I went to a bachelorette party. I mean, here I was.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, bro. I was here having, you know, the whole 9 yards of catching up of whatever we didn't do the year and a half. But man, what got really scary was Delta variant picked up. Yeah. And at this point, we're thinking we should not be doing all of these things and we should not be going out to eat. And things are really bad at home and we need to be more conscious. And then now you're feeling, oh man, did I do something wrong all these times?
The guilt.
Yeah, the guilt of.
If you were going through the guilt, man, like I was, and this is probably bad to say, but I'm going to say it because I think a lot of folks who have gotten maybe too used to being alone might be going through this. The sense of, man, people are going out there and socializing and pretending like everything is normal or readjusting to things being a bit more normal.
Yeah.
The sense of like anger when really it's me just not being comfortable doing something that should be normal and safe, right?
Yeah.
And I think I was going through that a little bit when I was still here before flying back to Zambia.
Yeah.
Once I flew back to Zambia, like I was comfortable again because I was like, okay, I know these rules. I know how to function within like COVID quarantine and isolation and
Isn't that strict measures.
Yeah. And then I was looking at obviously friends and you guys over here and there was a sense of like, man, this isn't fair, right?
Yeah.
Not just that people are going out and doing that. It's just that this isn't fair that a lot of countries, a lot of populations are able to do this when we have what? We probably vaccinated and check me on this, but what, 300,000 people in Zambia? Like that's probably all we've vaccinated at this point.
Yeah.
A country of 17 million. Right. So we are going through all of that. We are begging for vaccines. People who want vaccines, people who are saying, hey, I want this. I trust the science. I've understood it and I want to do this. They can't get their hands on a vaccine unless like it's in these brief windows in Zambia.
And here we are.
Here we are on this side of the world.
Yeah.
Where, you know, things are going somewhat back to normal, which is good. People are being safe by getting vaccinated. People are trying to be safe by, you know, whenever they travel, at least trying to quarantine, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it just feels so weird having to, one, like, we are just going back and forth between those two kind of states of being.
Yeah.
And also recognizing that we have family in India who are dying. the moment things are opening up over here and everyone is going out to bars and celebrating, where we can do certain things safely.
Yeah.
But it almost feels guilty for us to do it because we have family that is can't even do that. That side is dealing with death and mourning that side.
I mean, honestly, dude, when we I was there at my friend's wedding and I was thinking about you stressing out to figure out your wedding. Plus also my parents having COVID. Honestly, there was a point where I was thinking if something happens to my parents or our parents that I don't know if I can mentally go to her wedding. I was prepared to say I can't because this is, this is not happening in my, my family is kind of getting sick, but, it didn't get to that point.
And that was one of the things we talked about too, right? It's like, obviously your parents also got sick around the same time as my parents.
Yeah, actually the same day.
Yeah. And we had this conversation of like, okay, can your siblings travel?
Yeah.
Yes or no. Can I travel? Yes or no. Yeah. Okay, Bharat, can you travel? Yes, you're going to have to be the one on the ground if like worst case, none of us can travel. And then like, if God forbid something happens to my parents and your parents, like, what do we do in that situation? Those kind of tough conversations. So I can't even imagine being here. I guess I can't imagine. That was that 1 week that I was here. Being here, knowing that your parents are going through something that could kill them.
Yeah.
And at least for me, knowing that I could travel, but for you guys, thinking, we
are helpless, can't do anything.
If we have to travel, what are the repercussions?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like we're not going to travel if someone passes away, right?
Yeah. There's no question about it.
Only like one or two of us in our siblings group cannot travel absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's just absolutely no way to come back and you're going to jeopardize your whole life here. But a couple of us could travel. It's just indefinitely going to be sitting there until like the window opens for us to go to the embassy, get a visa, and come back.
Yeah. And I think Raul and I spoke about it and we said, worst case scenario, there's no question asked, we're both going.
Yeah.
This doesn't matter. This doesn't matter at all. We'll figure it out. That was Raul's take and my take.
The weird thing is it does matter though, right?
Yes.
Compared to like being there for your parents, you can say it doesn't, but
yeah.
You mourn, let's say worst case scenario, someone passes, you mourn 2-3 months later, what do you do now? Have to start your life in Zambia because you have given up everything?
I can't even picture it, dude.
And a lot of people are in those positions.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to decide what's important to you at that time and take it. I mean, dude, it was so much of those thoughts and so much of feeling guilt and it got exhausting after a point, to be very honest. I mean, I kind of started feeling that I liked some parts of my life during the pandemic, right? Because it was very honest and very stripped back. And, we were just not doing things for the sake of doing it. And then there was also this thought of, oh my gosh, things are opened up. Should we take advantage of it? The want to need to have to do something.
Yeah.
And that feeling was only there in 2019. That feeling was not there in 2020 where here I am. Oh, should I catch up? Should we go to this? Should we do that? Oh my gosh, did you see that's open up? Those conversations used to happen pre-pandemic. And I didn't enjoy that part of my life because it was more planning to do things and figure things out and, oh, let's check this out. But now, because we went through something like the pandemic, I'm able to pick out and say, I don't really need to do anything. We don't need to go and sit down in a restaurant. We can just grab the food, eat at the park, which is what Raul and I do. We don't really, we've only eaten out 3 times. But man, like I was just reflecting back in summary, it's just crazy. From one emotion of missing out, feeling frustrated as this immigrant kid sitting here to enjoying some travel time with my husband. And also like periods of, this pandemic, you don't really meet too many people, sitting alone in your thoughts a lot. And saying, what am I doing? That was my summer.
And I think it has been a really good in different ways, but a good summer for both of us.
Yeah. But yeah, this is so much fun, man.
This was good. I realized we haven't had an in-depth conversation of everything that's going on. We had a bit of a conversation about the honeymoon and like, our calls in between over the summer. But
I was trying to give Barth a lot of space.
And I was trying to give Rakshin Raul a lot of space too, as a newly wedded couple, fresh 4 years into it.
Fresh 4 years. We've been, we're now
ripe 4 years.
Ripe. We're aging.
But no, this has been really good. We've got some exciting conversations that we have lined up, that some of which we've started recording. But you know, we did have to take a break. And for a lot of y'all who have hit us up and you know, wondered what happened, what's going on, we're hoping that this will kind of give you guys a bit of an update on what's going on in our lives, and hopefully make the conversations that are coming up also a bit more relatable. So you guys take it easy, stay safe, get vaccinated, keep in touch with your loved ones, check in on them, and check in on us. Hit us up on social media, leave reviews, you know, leave us any questions, any topics you guys want us to talk about. Feel free to do that. Until next time, you guys take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you were able to take away something from our conversation. Please follow us on our Facebook and Instagram at Two Suitcases Pod. Feel free to leave feedback, ask questions, or even suggest topics for future episodes. Look out for the next episode on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcast. Thanks for unpacking with us!